Announcer Joey Clams, and you're listening to a special New Year's presentation of the Genius and Redman Show, recorded live at the Hay Merchant in Houston, Texas. Today the boys welcome local podcaster Josh Stewart of the Inner Blues Podcast. So pull a bottle of something special out of the cellar, pour a tall glass, and kick back for some lively conversation with these mamalukes. And get those horns up. And now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they use old diesel horns for noisemakers. It's Genghis and Redman.
You about shit yourself.
No.
You're making an ass of yourself. Stop it.
Should they turn around?
No, don't. Please.
This is not the place.
Why did we bring these two to the Hay Merchant today? Well, John, we got sound. Why is McCheese here?
I have no fucking idea. Tell you what. Let me talk to him real quick, and I think he'll leave real fast.
Yo, Colin. He's ordering some chicken fries. Yeah. They don't have those here. He loves chicken fries, though.
For the guys, strangely, he doesn't like the bigness.
I don't know. Wait, eat beef.
For some reason. I'll be right back. Let me go talk to him.
Mm-hmm. There he is. Yep. Oh, what did he tell him? There's a little surprised look on McCheese. He's leaving.
All right, I took care of it.
Hey, you're back. What happened? What did you do?
I said those little words that always get rid of McCheese.
What's that?
I'm going to save. I'm going to keep
lawsuit.
Them in my hip pockets. I think there's a baby with a lawsuit. No, he's... suffice it to say, there's things that strike cold into the heart of Mr. McCheese.
I follow.
So maybe one day I'll reveal them to you.
Well, we started the show with some Van Halen, classic Van Halen. And the reason we do that, this is our New Year's show. And Is Van Halen going to have a new record in 2017? Do we know? Are there hints?
I don't think we do know. I think that they're always talking about it. I think that, I guess what you can do is you can follow David Lee Roth to see what he says, and then wait and see if Eddie says it's true.
Right. Exactly.
That's how it works.
Another big one for 2017 before we get into our first beer.
Yep.
Before 2017, Skid Row. There's talk that Sebastian Bach may be rejoining the original Skids.
Nice.
On the heels of him putting on his autobiography, which I haven't read, but I'm really dying to read.
Which have followed two pretty successful albums, right? Solo albums?
Yeah, Kicking, Screaming, and I forget the other one, but they were both really good.
Yeah, exactly. And so none of those people were related to Skid Row.
No.
It was just dudes he found and he rocks with.
Yep.
Plus, I got to see him in my show, the Gilmore Girls. He was on that show.
Nice.
My show, dude.
Nice. Should we play some Skid Row? Classic Skid Row.
Let's fucking do it.
You were going to say something first, though.
No, I was just going to say, I like picking those kind of, I know that people say it's a girly show, but I pick shows where I'm like, bang every chick on the show. And I mean every chick.
On that note, how about a little Slave to the Grind? Here's our beer of the show.
Let's
over here.
It just
what is it? It's a cask. You need to read about it.
It's
or I'll read about
version,
it. I'll read about
they
it, Charlie.
Have the craft version, and they have the cask version. I was recommended the cask version.
The cask urethra. Eureka.
Urethra.
Eureka Heights. Muy caliente with coffee. It's a milk stout.
5%.
Wow, that's low.
Low for a stout, but with coffee.
Or is that 6? God, my eyesight ain't so good no more. Is that a 6?
That is a 6, yeah.
Okay.
With a 30 IBU, so
yeah.
That's low. I like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my God, it smells good.
Okay, smell?
Oh.
4?
Aroma 4.
Oh, it smells awesome.
Dude. It smells like a chocolate.
Oh, it's beautiful
coffee
beer, too. Look at the lacing.
Nice, sudsy lacing.
Little head.
Like that, nice, thin head. Yeah. Colored head. Let's go. Oh. That's a 4.
4.
Oh man.
It's almost like a nitro.
That must be the caliente part. That must be like chili then.
Yeah, but it's like a nitro.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of carbonation.
Oh, because it was cast too, right? So that
right.
Probably has something to do with carbonation as well.
Oh, this is delicious, man.
It's fantastic, dude. I'd say the taste, 4.
4.
Now feel fuck it, 4.
All right. Because it's not watery. It's really in between. It's got a really good mouth feel to it,
it's
man.
It's not too bready, but it's not too watery. Right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great beer.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good choice right there.
Yeah, thank you.
As you know, of course, our listeners are familiar with the classic piggyback show we do, where we do a Christmas show, which
sure.
we did about a week ago, and now we follow that up with the
New Year's
show, which basically is
the preview.
New Year's time, but it's a preview of 2017.
Yes.
And this show, as was hinted at in the last show, we'll include a special guest, Josh of the Interbrews podcast.
Yes.
And he's going to sit in with us and tell us about beers and stuff. And
I can't wait to talk to this guy. CP knows his shit.
I know. We'll quiz him if he doesn't pass. That motherfucker's out.
Yeah, we're kicking his ass. We'll make him pay our bartender.
Or even just clean out John's job.
You know what we could do?
He's in the bathroom with like a washboard.
If he doesn't know his shit, let's just like, we'll be right back. Right? We got to go talk to a guy on there and we'll just disappear.
Exactly. It's like, I'm about to take a shit in the bathroom. There's a window in there, right? About my size?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I like to air it out.
Exactly.
No other reason. So, no, seriously though. So we, I know, strangely, I have to say this, 2016, shitty into it.
Oh, it's been a horrible, I mean, on a personal level.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably the worst year I've had in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah. Especially the loss.
After, like, July
from
to the present.
Half of the year was shite.
Oh, yeah.
But
we saw some good shows, though.
The thing is, it's cast kind of a pall over 2017.
Yeah.
Do you have a whole, I don't have as big a list of what to anticipate this year as we did last year.
Right, right, right.
What do you want to start off with any
ideas? Van Halen, if that happens.
That'd be sweet.
Skid Row getting back together. I like it. If they put out a new record, I'd probably go see it.
If it's as good as his solo shit, because I thought that was great. To me, that was like, that's a Skid Row record. It just doesn't have that.
Yeah, Skid Row shit stuff, their new stuff, not so hot. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I think they need Sebastian. Maybe they need each other.
But I'm not sure why Tony Harnell got booted or left or whatever.
Maybe he had to go. Maybe they're doing Drawn Together again, Holmes. He's like, I got to go do voice.
You know shit.
Because he is the voice master.
Who is?
Tony Harnell.
Tony Harnell was on Drawn Together?
Yeah.
From TNT?
Yeah. Well, let me make sure I've got the right guy. Isn't he the dude in Rock Sugar?
Mm-mm.
Who's that guy? Mound?
You don't know. Bob Geldof.
Yeah, make up a fucking name. It's David Bowie.
Larry Flint.
Larry Flint.
I don't know.
The man with no name. It's no, I thought it was that guy.
Hugh
that
Jackman.
Also a voice actor.
Hugh Jackman.
Maybe it's Tony Parnell. No, that's a different guy.
Tony Mangione.
Chuck Mangione. The trumpet guy.
No, that guy from that band.
So I get him confused with that guy.
No, he wasn't
guy,
that guy.
He's like, he sings in Rock Sugar, but he also does voices. He's a voice actor.
So next year, I know some shows coming up that I'm looking very forward to.
Yeah?
We have Udio doing Accept in January.
Nice.
We have Ace Frehley with Enough's Enough, January. And probably the biggest show so far, 2017 for me, is Evergrey in May.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You don't even seem excited. You're like, well, yeah.
Evergrey's cool, but I'm
no.
What?
You did.
Of course I did.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, look, I'm looking at the big ones. Like, for instance, not to piss on Evergrey.
Mm-hmm.
In February, Black Sabbath is going to play their final two shows.
Be a video.
In the Genting Arena in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So these dates are the final two
we
dates.
We can't go to that,
of the ongoing farewell tour. It's not about what we go to. It's just big shit that's
happening.
Anyway, the band, however, might write new material, so they're kind of fucking us. It's cool that they're making new material, but it's like, so you're not really done.
It could be a Rush scenario where they don't tour anymore, but they still record together.
That'd be kind of cool.
I'd be good with that, right?
I'd be down with that. Although, Aerosmith is going to embark on their final tour after 47 years together.
So Aerosmith's done next year.
Titled the Arrivederci Baby Tour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I'm very clever.
For that very reason,
I won't go for that.
Just because of the name.
Yeah.
And then the Canadian festival, Heavy Montreal, will take a year off. Holmes, they're fucking us. So I guess that's their Vacan festival.
Maybe so, yeah.
But it's like Canadian version of Vacan. What is that going to be?
What about Sabotage? Are they going to put out new material in 2017?
I don't know. They might. Let's see. I'm looking through the list here. I pulled it up. Just
is that, when we talked to Zach Stevens last time.
Here's artists with material and production. Part of their process. I don't even see it. I don't see Sabotage.
Well, Zach Stevens said they were going to do something, unless something fell
you
through.
You tell Zach that I said. No, coming out.
That's what I.
Coming out in January, we're going to get some Pain of Salvation.
Nice.
Nice. New Gravedigger. We're going to get Sepultura.
Sepultura.
We're going to get new Firewind. We're going to get some new creator. Sweet. New Crocus. Unless that's a remake.
No, I think that's new. I think I heard that.
Nice. Coming in February, we got nothing I'm interested in. So, but Steel Panther?
Yeah. They have a brand new record coming out. I saw that.
You remember.
I need some prodding homes. I need some prodding homes.
And then in March, we got new Havoc. I'm a big fan of Havoc, as you know, thrash band. Now, what's this album by Deep Purple in April, Infinite?
It must be a new one.
Yeah, that'll be sweet. I wonder who's the
Steve Morse
version. Yeah, with Steve Morse.
Steve Morse, yeah.
So it has some awesome guitar on it.
But Blackmore's back to playing some rock and roll, so.
Yeah. Sweet. But artists with material and production, according to this list, we got Accept. We got Adrenaline Mob, Alice in Chains, Annihilator, Arch Enemy, Atreyu, Body Count.
They're back?
Body?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought I heard.
They did something not too long ago. They kind of came back.
Bullet for my Valentine.
Bullet Boys, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're Frontiers. Excited about that. Yeah. Who else? Corrosion of Conformity, Cradle of Filth, Danzig, Dimmu Borgir.
Really? That's our first record in a long time, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Doro, of course. Exodus, Extreme, Five Finger Death Punch, Fear Factory, Iced Earth.
Oh, wow, they hadn't put anything out in forever either.
Judas Priest, King Diamond.
The Priest.
LA Guns, Living Color.
You know, LA Guns is coming on a reunion tour to Houston.
No shit.
Free show.
Wow, that's weird when they do free shows.
At the warehouse.
All I care about is singer and guitarist. Right,
yeah.
Tracy?
Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis, yeah.
Sweet.
Just come back together. They love each other again.
That's right. Just for that one song, he leaves.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out.
When Ballad of Jane came on, they were both at the same restaurant. They went and, like, kissed.
They look at each other. Mastodon?
Yeah.
Of course.
Not a big
Motionless
thing.
And White?
Oh, yeah, I dig those guys, yeah.
Who else we got in here? We got Mr. Big, according to this.
We need to call Eric and just verify.
Suck ass. Queensryche, Quiet Riot.
Quiet Riot?
Yeah. Saxon. I mean, for all we know, it's a compilation or best ever.
Well, Saxon would be good.
Slayer, Soundgarden, Stone Sour, Threat Signal.
Wow, when's the last time they put anything
out? For real.
Their last drummer passed away.
Oh, okay. Tool, Trivium, UFO's doing a covers album.
Yeah, lame.
And Voivod.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all we get.
There's more stuff, but they're less known bands. And this is all stuff that is under the title Artist with Material in Production. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll come
out. Sure. So it could be complete bullshit.
They're just sitting on it, holding their fucking dicks. So... That's what I was looking for.
That's it. What it is?
I don't know of anything else major happening. Have you?
What do you want?
As far as we know, Rush isn't going to do anything. They're still quiet on the set there.
Yeah. How about DT's doing
Image and Words?
That would be awesome.
That would be shit. Now I saw something that said on their site. I think it was. It said North American dates coming soon.
We're playing everywhere but Houston.
I know. Basically,
I think I read that.
Basically, we put our hand over Houston and just throw the dart at the board. Like,
yeah.
We'll play any fucking little town. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
As long as it's not the fourth largest city in America.
Well, what's Iron Maiden doing next year?
I think that's not in the list, because I got off Wikipedia, but not in the list was touring shit, and I'm hoping, because like I've said before, and I still stand by it, I think that there's so many bands, especially the big ones like Iron Maiden, that they do a tour that lasts so long, it's not just one calendar year. So
right.
If you don't see in this year, up until the end of the year, that they're doing a show in your town, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not coming.
Right.
They may next year or roll around, then they'll come to your town.
Sure,
I'm still confident that Iron Maiden's coming.
Should we play some Maiden?
Yeah, fuck.
New Maiden or Old Maiden?
Let's do new. That Book of Souls is a damn good album.
How about the Red, the Black?
Yeah, you're talking.
Let's do it. We'll be right back.
I guess it's about time. Maybe we introduce our special guest.
We got our guy coming over here.
Yeah, let's wave that motherfucker over here. Let's let him through the velvet rope over to our special table.
We have our top crack security team over there, Tommy Snazzlepants.
That's right. He's guiding his ass.
Over there. Look at him. John. I mean, it's weird how everybody's just really kind of looking at John. John must not go out in public much in the jock.
Thank God. Because we either that or all kinds of
stuff. You think he does it for attention?
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's weird today is he's wearing kind of a little, it's not really a tank top, but it almost looks like a small bra.
Like a jog bra?
Yeah, it's weird.
It might be. He likes for the control.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
If you don't know what we're doing, we're stalling for time as he's getting mic'd up, and then we'll talk to our boy Josh in a sec.
Oh, here he comes. Let's go.
Let's hit it. You want to knock into it?
Yeah.
All right.
In Houston, Texas, it's the Genghis and Ragman Show. I'm one of your hosts. This is Ragman.
Genghis.
Hey, this is Josh Stewart, host of Interbrews and co-host of Liquid Lunch, Texas's live midday craft beer show every Thursday, liquidlunchshow.com.
Oh, shameless plug. Hold on. Liquid Lunch and you're driving. And what? Can I get your license plate number? I'm just saying I might need it.
Calm down, John.
John, back up and get out of here.
Yeah, give me another beer.
You mix the show. Yeah, go get her. You'll be our beer boy.
Beer boy.
All right, I got my jock on. It's 86 degrees. Beautiful day.
Not where I'm sitting. Anyway, cool. It's nice to have you on, Josh.
Yeah,
welcome. I asked you, Josh, on because we had. I was looking for a local podcast to listen to. I thought, who actually was about beer. But then I saw, here's a local one in Houston. And I thought, holy crap, it's like this dude, like, and he's talked to like all the breweries pretty much in Houston, as well as another satisfied customer.
Oh, shit.
Right, they heard
there
you talking
gone.
About it. I know, he probably fucked up, fell in the bathroom, caught himself. So I thought it'd be really cool to have you on the show to get the beer angle, because, as you know, this is our New Year's show where we talk about stuff coming up in the year. We said we'd push in our last show to the beer proportion to this show, and tie that into what's coming ahead.
Well, so first and foremost, those wings you're eating, man, those look delicious.
Dude, these are hardcore, dude. They're delicious. They're
a little hot.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to chow on the mic. I know that's a no-no for podcasting, but
we don't care.
I'm hungry.
What kind are those?
Yeah.
What kind are these?
I've been eyeballing them.
I think they're kiwi.
Roasted kiwi.
I just got them back there live. Pop this in the oven. No, it's just regular wings, naked wings, they call them, and then I got the sauces on the side. I don't like when they toss all the shit on there with it, and it comes just dripping, and you need a towel to eat it.
Oh, those look delicious, man.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
Yeah. We do a segment on Liquid Lunch called What You Drinking.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm drinking Hans Pils from Real Ale up in Blanco. What are y'all drinking?
I got me the White Noise from St. Arnold. I've been anxious to try it, mostly because the can had a picture of an amplifier on it.
Yeah.
I like music, so...
I've got the canal season here. I got the Wasatch Jack-O-Lantern.
Or Black-O-Lantern. It was Black-O-Lantern.
Yeah,
what's funny is, see, in the beginning, I showed up, this is years ago, I show up at the studios at the campus, and I show up with a pumpkin beer for the first time, and he hadn't seen
Buffalo
it.
Buffalo Bills.
Fucking pumpkin beer, dude. Seriously? Like, it was, this is going to be gross.
It was.
And now you're drinking pumpkin beers into fucking Easter with this guy.
But what happened, I travel all over the U.S.
Yeah.
And there's a brewery in Horseheads, New York.
Okay.
Called the Horseheads Brewery.
Yeah.
And they have a pumpkin ale. And one of my customers in my day job said, you got to try this. It's amazing. Because pumpkin, he goes, don't judge.
Yeah.
Just shut up and drink it. So I grab it, I import it into Texas. Yeah. Genghis and I have it. I'm sold. He's somewhat sold. I go on a pumpkin kick the next year. I go nuts with it.
You good.
I've kind of scaled off a little bit this year, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's kind of a, with all that spice, there's kind of a threshold. You get to a certain point, it's like when you eat the whole bag of potato chips.
Well, it's like all of a sudden I'm drinking potpourri or something.
Yeah, so, like, and the range is so wide with pumpkin beers. I mean, you pumpkinator is dark and chocolatey and roasty and, you know, pumpkin on top of that. And then you've got...
So they always put the spices in it. And it's usually probably the same wide, probably a little nutmeg or cinnamon.
Yeah, cinnamon,
like
allspice maybe.
So have you talked with the people that brew that stuff? Do you know, I mean, do they literally just pour bags of cinnamon in the fucking big old mash tin?
Yeah, I mean, it's measured out. Sometimes sometimes they'll add it at the end because the spices are the thing that drop out the quickest.
Oh, okay.
So if you age pumpkinator, and like if you think it's too spice forward, in a year, it'll be less. In 5 years, it'll be super smooth. The spice will be like real in the background.
So that's another vote for like cellaring beers and just letting them sit for a while.
Well, let me ask you, is there a point that you can't cellar or you don't want to cellar past?
Well, if you have a good candidate for cellaring, if it's, you know, high ABV, like 9.5 or above is always, you know, a good beer for celery.
So you think with the high ABVs, one that's...
Yeah, if it's a hop forward beer, like double IPAs, I mean, theoretically you could sell them, but hops fall out as well. And so if you have a big IPA where, you know, the hops are supposed to be the thing that's featured, then you want to drink that as fresh as possible. But each beer is kind of its own thing. I mean, I've heard of beers, you know, aged 10 years, and they're probably not as good as they were at maybe like 6.5 might have been like the perfect place, or they might have been good from like 5 to 6.5, and then after 6.5 it started to fall off. But you never know. You just try it out, see what happens, see what you like.
I think our train of thought is a porter or stout will age, but anything beyond that, probably not something we're going to look at cellaring.
Some of the big Belgian beers, like a quad.
Yeah, sure.
Big high ABV. Some sours will... just higher ABV typically.
Does re-fermenting do anything to it? I mean, I know what it does, but I mean, does cellaring a re-fermented beer, is that like a dumb idea, or is it better to re-ferment?
Something like Orval that has Brettanomyces, that changes a lot over time.
Oh, nice.
Not just like the flavor mellows, but you get a completely different character. Sometimes you'll
get profile probably changes.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get like, you know, mango and stuff that'll come out.
Oh, cool.
Different fruit flavors, and you know, just it changes. Orval will change a lot over time.
Yeah. Wow,
this is what's nice about having somebody who knows beer on the show.
I've had Orval before, and I like it, but man, I would like to buy one and sell it.
Just to find out different ideas. Yeah.
Brett, that type of yeast is real hardy, so you want, but you don't want to put it in the refrigerator because that makes it dormant, so it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. So like cellaring temperature should be 55, 60, but if you kept it at room temperature, it would, you know, it may go a little faster, but you still get this kind of the same effect. But refrigerating, you know, knocks them out, so you really don't get as much.
That's my problem is I put everything in the fridge if I'm not drinking it, and I don't know why I'm afraid to put it up in the pantry or something.
Yeah.
When you've got all that space down in the cellars at Nightmare Studios.
Sure.
So get on the forklift.
Where exactly
drive it
is
down.
Is the cellar in the studio?
It's below dungeon level 5.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Is that on?
You need to come to the campus sometime.
Yeah.
Elevator system. It's high tech.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
We have our own electrician.
Really?
Yeah. His name's...
You guys are...
Zeke, Tommy.
Switching.
Tommy Zeke. But if we start with if we start your process now, you know, by the time you get through the government clearance and all that, you'll be able to get through the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
There is a process. It's, like it's worse than getting a visa going to Russia.
Okay. Full body cavity search and all that kind of stuff?
A little bit. A little bit.
John requests those.
Yeah. It's okay. John and McCheese.
And he's not even on the security team. That's what's funny.
Our lawyer.
It's a hobby. It's a passion.
If you see anybody, just let me know.
I don't know if you know our lawyer, Mayor McCheese.
I've heard, I don't know him, like, well.
Yeah, he's...
You don't want to know him well, yeah.
No, you don't. He's our lawyer. He screwed us more times than
it's a
like
blessing
to
and a curse to know him. But, anyway.
Oh, so, I want to ask you this. Yeah. Because I've got this coveted beer, at least I think I do.
Yeah.
And is there a coveted beer out there, and I've got a two-parter. I'll come back to the second part. But is there a coveted beer out there right now you're like, I got to have. I got to go to Specs downtown. Or I got to go somewhere to go get that thing right now.
I don't do a lot of beer, like, you know, searching anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really. Yeah, it's I used to. I used to do it a lot, and I burned too much gas and spent too much money.
Oh yeah,
and spent too much time in lines. And there's almost like when you spend too much time on Facebook looking like an old girlfriends or whatever, you get a little depressed if you don't get that one beer that you were going after or whatever. So I kind of take the philosophy, if I come across it, then it was meant to be. You know, it's like, I'll enjoy it this moment, be in the moment.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's a good
one. But, like, you know, every time, I get the Divine Reserves every time from St. Arnold.
I have two of those. There was an 11 and a 15. Mm-hmm. So what's the significance of the number? Is that the year it was
brewed? Yeah, the year it comes out each year. It's a different style.
That reminds me, too. I was at downtown the other day, last weekend, and there's a place down there near Main Street called the Conservatory. It's a little underground place. And down there, they've got a little place, for like a beer garden. Mostly it's St. Arnold stuff, but they had Divine Reserve. They had all this stuff on draft.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, holy shit, this is the... I wasn't there to drink, so I was like, sadly, I'm going. So I was like, fine.
Yeah.
But I checked it out. They got little restaurants and stuff. And it's a really cool, like, little indoor subterranean place.
Yeah.
Nice.
You'll get a lot of bars, like Hay Merchant here, they'll put, you know, kegs away and just age them for a while, and so they may come out with Divine Reserve 11, you know, this year for some charity event or some big event or something.
So, no, casking, it's different than casking, right? Do the places like the Hay Merchant do the casking themselves, or someone... Some brewery casts it and delivers it to a certain brewery.
Both, places. I'm sure. I know Todd up at the Hop Scholar in Spring. I know he'll take beers and then dry hop them himself in the keg. Some, you know, maybe they do it on a special request with the brewery, you know, at a certain time. But both, you know, it happens both. Just depends on Kevin here. He's pretty savvy. He's like a beer, you know, genius.
Yeah, he's a Mud Turtle, dude. He's at the top.
Yeah, he's Yoda level beer knowledge. That's sort of
shit. Two little blue ghosts next to him, like, no, don't cast that, you idiot.
Well, I was telling Genghis, I was at Specs yesterday, and I picked up the Sierra Nevada Chocolate Cherry Stout. And I don't know anything about it. It just sounds amazing. But it was like one of the most expensive beers I've ever bought. It was like $19 bucks. It's aged in bourbon barrels, I think.
750 milliliter or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I'm sure
it will. Sounds like a good, like, Valentine's beer or something.
Like the Deep Ellum's got that. They got, like, a chocolate cherry beer.
Oh, that thing was good.
That's a nookie night. That's a, you know.
I think I got a question. Have you ever had this? One of our favorite beers last year. Do you ever try any Louisiana beers, like Parrish Brewery?
I don't know. I've had, like, Bayou Teche. And Nola and some of those. Maybe.
Parrish had one called the Neapolitan.
Okay.
It was strawberry, chocolate, vanilla.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And it's in 750. It was probably the most amazing beer we ever had. As it warmed up, you could taste the vanilla,
the flavor,
the chocolate, and the strawberry.
That's like Willy Wonka, where she's like tasting, like, oh, now comes dessert. I can taste the blueberry pot. You just feel the flavors coming up. I don't know how's that happens? That's amazing.
But they got in trouble. They can't call Neapolitan anymore. They got to change the name.
It's like trademark the name or whatever.
Yeah. It's like Bluebell or somebody owns the name Neapolitan
much.
Or something.
But I wonder how they layer the flavors like that. Is that in their control or just how it works out?
It might just be, I would imagine that's kind of more of a chemistry trick, I guess. Like certain flavors come out more at certain temperatures.
Like they're denser or something in there.
Yeah, well, temperature has a big impact on what you can perceive.
Big time, yeah, we've noticed that.
Yeah, that's why the shitty beers, they serve them so cold.
So you don't notice
yeah.
how bad.
Yeah, it's like, you know, as cold as the Rockies, because you can't taste shit when it's as cold as the Rockies, and you can't taste
it. Might as well be drinking water off a mountain.
Yeah.
So. We've noticed that beers in higher ABV, the hotter they get, typically, the more the alcohol hits you.
Yeah.
So we try to drink those pretty quick. We usually try to have the beer around 52 to 50 degrees or something.
That's typically about, for a big stout or something like that.
Yeah.
That's about where you want to drink it at, cellar temperatures. Like England, that's, you know, they would cellar their beers down in an actual cellar. We can't really do that here in Houston, right?
But,
you know, it would be down there, they'd use the hand pump, and that's that would be the temperature down there underground. And that's where they would serve their beers. Mm-hmm. You just pick out more flavors at that temperature.
Well, you want to roll in maybe and start talking about the best beers of last year?
I don't have my list handy.
You son of a bitch.
Well, you know, we talked about beers here a minute ago where you stand in line, you drive all over town. Last year it was the Bourbon County Stout by Goose Island.
Yeah.
This year, there was the same hype about it.
Yeah.
A lot of liquor stores were getting one case or this or that. In particular, I had one by my house, Goody Goody.
Yeah.
And they rationed me to two. So I went and picked up my wife, made her buy two. And then the next day, I went and got two more.
With the beard mustache and combo, the glasses.
Hello. I'm pissed off. I go to Kroger shopping for groceries with my kid.
Yeah.
There's three cases that stood up. There's no...
No limit.
No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... it's just, you know, like Kroger, they're not going to... They don't take the time or they don't have the knowledge
right.
that the beer rep at Goody Goody, that all he does is beer, or sheep, I guess. They just don't have that attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And most people that go into Kroger, you know, they're not getting beer. Most people are getting everything else. There's 10,000 items at Kroger versus, and they're all over the map.
Yeah, right.
And they're not. Most of them aren't beer. So
and everybody's all about wine anyway. I don't know. I'm actually allergic to wine, so I can't drink any of it. But everywhere you go is wine, wine, wine. And thankfully, the craft beers kind of balance that out.
I'm kind of allergic to wine people.
Yeah, I feel that way too. So tell you what, I got my list. Let me see what I can start with. We started off back in January, about this time last year, with the Goose Island Rare Bourbon County Stout. That's one of our favorites.
Oh,
the
it
one
was
you
amazing
were just talking
last
year. About. It's amazing. It's got, a 4.0, right? This one, I got it listed here. And followed by that, we had the same month, the Parish Brewing's Neapolitan Stout, as you said. The Elevation Brewing Company was real good. We had
the Apis 4.
The Apis 4.
It's a quad brewed with honey.
Where are the Elevation? They're in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
I was just in Colorado, and I had some. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other beers they've had. We had one of the other ones.
We had the Odell this year, the Rum Barrel.
Uh-huh. But there was one, I think, another. We had one other, because I remember those funny labels they have. It looks like parchment or something. And there was one, an horchata kind of a style beer or something? It was like a Mexican something beer, I think. It was one of the first ones we had from
Elevation. Was it one of the ones I brought back from Colorado? Or something we got here?
I might have brought it myself.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, we had that, but that was like a year or two ago. So
yeah.
It's been a while. I like their stuff, not all of their stuff. Like, it's like every now and then a beer really comes out that's really good.
Yeah.
A lot of these new breweries pop up, and they're doing, like, a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, we've got a double IPA. It's like, right, everybody has a double IPA.
Right.
And they're not necessarily doing anything particular. That's why I like stuff like Buffalo Bayou, where they're like, let's throw in a lot of these different adjuncts to really make it delicious.
Yeah.
So one of our favorites, of course, was the Bee's Nuts.
Yeah.
Which we had back in August. They got a 3.5. Went a 4.0, but now they got the new one, the Buzz Nuts. Have you heard that one?
I haven't
That's
seen it.
Coffee hazelnut. And,
yeah. Is it out?
We're really about coffee beers. Yeah. We really love coffee.
We love
like Rocket Fuel from 8th
Rocket Fuel's really nice.
I love Rocket Fuel. Yeah,
yeah, that's
the other
a good
day.
Beer.
I also just picked up the Shiner. All their birthday beers are fantastic.
Yeah.
I just picked up their the Cold Brew, where they did a collaboration with the Chameleon Cold Brew Coffee.
Yeah.
That shit is delicious, dude. Tastes very coffee-ish. And maybe some people, what do you think? Have you talked to non-in the business people that they're just like, all this stuff is too, like, you know, like gimmick flavor stuff? And, or do they really get into it?
I guess it depends on the person. Like, you know, if there's a particular flavor that you like, and then you find that in a beer, and that takes you into beer, then you're going to love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you hate celery and somebody comes out with a celery beer, I don't know if anybody's ever done it.
Well, I saw one the other day. It's a pickle juice beer. Made with pickle. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to drink that?
That's for somebody that's probably
let's
going
carbonate
for
some,
sour,
some pickle juice and drink that.
Yeah, there's a brewery, New Braunfels Brewing Company. They have one called Pickle Effort. And it's it tastes like pickle juice, like a sour.
It just sounds disgusting.
It's some of them for me, like No Label. I love No Label. I love the brewery and I love their beer. But they have a jalapeno beer. It's lighter, but it's very jalapeno.
And it's not the Don Juan.
Don Jalapeno.
And you don't like the Don Juan.
No, I like it for like 3/4 of a beer, and then it's like that's too much jalapeno for me to handle. I have a threshold. So
what about the Hatch beer that they do?
That one's good.
I like that one pretty well. It's weird because it's not that hot, but when you burp, you feel the burn when you burp. You know?
Yeah, Lone Pine does one called Undead Head Ed, and it's a ghost pepper porter.
Oh, wow. I've never had that.
Oh, fantastic.
Really?
So different peppers, different flavors, right?
And
some,
who makes that?
Lone Pine, Magnolia.
Oh, okay.
The one that they make Yellow Rose and Jabberwocky and Gentleman's Relish.
Okay, they have this real funky artwork on there.
Yeah.
I like those guys.
But yeah, like different peppers have different flavors. Like jalapeno, the non jalapeno is real green jalapeno.
Yeah.
Some people will smoke them. Some people will fire roast them or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And if you put it in a darker beer, like Chipotle or ancho chilies. I made a homebrew and I made a pumpkin porter with ancho chili powder.
Oh,
in it.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
And so it played really well.
That sounds good.
So and I smoked the pumpkins too, so it all kind of played.
Oh no shit!
Yeah.
Wow. You're advanced level, dude.
I don't know. Maybe. Just threw it all together and happened to work.
Just because I did it, I didn't say it turned out all right.
I didn't really know what I was doing. It just happened to happen. That
I can see like a sweet, because I've seen sweet potato beer. I can see a sweet potato beer with ancho chilies.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I bet that would be really good, because I saw Alton Brown on one of his shows. He did a sweet potato, like mashed sweet potatoes, and he threw in some ancho chilies. I'm like, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, so smoky, sweet kind of
crossover. Yeah, exactly. That mix.
Yeah, if you look at food flavors that are good together, a lot of times that'll work in a beer.
That's the way I've learned to work with it. And same with, I think with things like pairing food with it.
Yeah.
Think of what kind of goes together. We've made beer floats on the show. Our chef, Turtlehead, he's made all of our drinks. And I think that's how he starts out. He says, what was the sort of generic flavor of the ice cream? And he uses different, like, Haagen-Dazs, flavored ice creams and stuff. And what would that pair with normally?
Yeah.
And so, like...
I don't want to say we were the innovators of those, but we started doing these about 10 years ago before any of the gastropubs were doing them.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I think they stole the recipe from Turtlehead. I've heard that him and McCheese are got some legal stuff going
on.
Some
papers going.
Yeah, but God only knows where that's going to go.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
No, but the one I think I'm most proud of is the Holy Diver, and that's a big glass of I think it's Guinness, or it might be the what's that really good chocolate one? Murphy. I think it's
Murphy's
Murphy.
Double chocolate,
and you dunk a shot glass of Frangelico in there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was.
And that
good.
Was in honor of Ronnie James Dio when he died, so that turned out really good.
Yeah.
But in any case, getting back to the beers, the only one other one on my list I had was the. Was the Carbach, the 013 Kentucky Bourbon Barrel.
That was good.
That was real good.
What are your thoughts on Carbach getting bought out by Budweiser?
I have kind of a two-tiered opinion of it, maybe three-tiered. We'll see where this goes.
I prepared some paper.
Yeah. So I have friends at Carbach, people that I've interviewed on Interbrews, Eric, their head brewer, brewmaster, whatever. I guess brewmaster is his title. And then DG, Derek, David Graham is... I've had them on the show. I really like them as people. I know their story from way back. They were the first brewery to let Interbrews come in for us to do an interview. And so for them personally, I'm really happy for them, because that's in business. They've met a goal that I think that, I don't know if that was their specific goal starting out, but I think pretty quickly it became their goal. Then on the other side, when it comes to the beer, I know that the beer is still good. I know it's still the same beer for now, at least. It hasn't been changed at all. They haven't had time. But Budweiser or AB InBev they have a reputation for going in and changing the beers of any place that they've bought. And so I've prepared that the beer won't be as good later on. But the third tier to that is that I'm not going to drink their beer anymore. Just because AB InBev has been so douchey to local breweries and so underhanded in how they've handled copyright laws and trying to undermine local, breweries and being heavy-handed with their influence over distributors and things like that.
Sure.
I don't want to support anything that they have. I'll go give my money to my friends that own beer, breweries.
The little local guy, as they say.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that the beer is bad. I'm happy for them, my individual friends and the individual business. Way to go. I commend that. But me as a person, I'm not going to give my money to
the principal.
It's a principal thing. And it's sad because I really like, Hopadillo is really good, or is really good. I really love Sympathy for the Lager. Yeah. That was it's a crisp, just straightforward lager, just a great drinking beer. Mm-hmm. Some of their barrel-aged stuff, the Cherries of Fire was really good. I mean, there's so many good beers. And that restaurant has good food, too. Good vibe and everything. But so I kind of have to,
We have a similar philosophy when it comes to, because we've talked about it before on the show with various topics about music artists, It's easy for a fan of a particular artist to go, oh, you guys are selling out, and why aren't you making this, why doesn't this album sound like my favorite album that you made 10 years ago?
Right.
And it's like, look, they have a right as artists to express themselves, even if you don't agree with it. That they're doing what they do because that's what they're called to do in their life and whatever. And if they happen to sell out, i.e. just start making a lot of money, that's their prerogative. It's also, they deserve it. They worked hard for it, So we try to be kind of, fair about it and just say, okay, just because you've sold out doesn't mean that you're, and I'm using air quotes here, it doesn't mean that you've necessarily, tried to screw over your fans or don't care about what your art or anything like that. You have a right to make money.
Yeah. Right.
And so, like you say, it's good for them for making some cash.
There's a lot of parallels. When I was listening to you guys' podcast, past episodes of your podcast, and I was thinking, I couldn't help but, think about the parallels there are to the music and beer. Because, like St. Arnold, the beer that got me into craft beer was their Texas Wheat. And they don't make that anymore because it just wasn't selling. And it was, they wanted to go in different directions, do different stuff, so they quit making that one. I was really sad. I even, called them. I'm like, hey, I know a guy that will buy probably enough to cover your cost to make that beer if you'll keep making it. That's me. But, they were like, no, we're going to go do some other stuff. And it's kind of the same thing, with musicians. The reason that album 10 years ago doesn't sound like our new stuff is because we've evolved as musicians and we want
to
get into other stuff, try new things, and, that art that you loved so much 10 years ago, that was us then, but we can't just stay in the same place and rehash the same thing over and over. Same thing with beers.
Yeah, like if you have kids, it's like, I loved my, my little boy when he was 3 years old. He did this neat thing. He's like, he's 20 now, and he's just not quite the same. He's still that, but he's become something new, and you should still see what you loved in him at the beginning, but it's like...
But if he keeps pooping his pants, you're like,
that's right.
It's time to grow up. Time to move on. Absolutely.
If you think about St. Arnold, for the longest time, they just had their set lineup of St. Amber. They had a brown ale at one point, didn't they?
Elwager is what they call it now.
They call it Elwager now? So they had like four beers, and then they came out with the Icon, and I'm like, wow. And then another one I think of, not local, but like Sam Adams. Sam Adams just had their pattern. And then they came out with those really cool, I don't know what the series is called, but it's like looks like a barrel on the bottom. Yeah. It's a 750.
Yeah.
And they really pushed the envelope as far as brewing went. I won't buy any Sam Adams, but I'll buy those from time to time. I'm kind of the same way with St. Arnold now. It's I'll buy the Icon stuff. We're all by the Bishop, we're all by the Pumpkinator.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the regular stuff anymore.
Yeah. I had this conversation with my buddy Greg the other day, and he's like, I just don't drink their core beers anymore. I said, well, when's the last time you went back and tried one? Like, Fancy Lawnmower is a fantastic beer. That is, as far as like as a Kolsch style beer on a hot day, that's just a fantastic beer. He's like, I was like, just go back and try it. Go back and try it. And so a few weeks passed, and I think we even had that conversation again. And he went back and tried it. He said, you know what? I went back and tried it, and it is good. It's real good. And it's, you know, you don't want to. There are great songs, but you don't want to listen to the same song every day. You know, then it gets to the point where you're like, if I hear that song again, I'm going to kick that speaker. You know, I'm going to strangle somebody. But it doesn't mean it's not a great song. You just gotta give yourself some space. Same thing with beers.
Sure. Right.
So I think St. Arnold makes some really good core beers. But yeah, they've just been around for so long. They suffer from that a little bit, but when you come back, same thing with styles too.
Yeah.
Like the beers that I've really enjoyed this year, more so than any, like I would, at Sigma, they had a porter. And porter is one of those styles that, you know, when the craft beer movement really started. We all good?
Yeah, we should. I'm just keeping an eye.
Cool. When the craft beer movement started, you know, like, you know, 94, 95, porters and ambers and browns, kind of those English styles, were kind of mm-hmm. where everybody started at. And then everybody moved past it to pale ales, IPAs, and then they just went nuts. But they're still great styles, and that their porter is just like a solid, just delicious porter. Eureka Heights, their ESB, really, really good. I mean, it's just like, you think you start drinking that and you close your eyes, you could swear you're in like a pub in England somewhere.
Oh, nice.
And Back Pew up in Porter, mm-hmm. they have a brown ale. And brown ales were really one of those original craft beer styles that were, you know, different than the American light lagers.
Sure.
But now they're considered kind of, you know, passé or whatever. But man, that brown ale is really, really good. Really good.
It would pair well with Soma.
Yeah. And theirs is excellent. So those are, like, some of those beers, they kind of, like, reawoke me to those early styles.
Do you
styles.
Focus mainly on Texas beers, or do you
hit
the gamut, kind of?
Well, okay, so if there's something really interesting that I see, I'm like, I'm going to try it, especially sours and stuff, if it's from Belgium or somewhere, or Trappist beers or whatever. Those are always, like, a staple in my refrigerator. Like, Saison DuPont, which is one of those legacy beers, you know?
Classic. Yeah, had that forever.
Yeah, that beer's fantastic. You can't beat it.
It's great every time.
Yeah. So I'll always have some of those around, but I try to go local wherever I'm at. So I grew up in Arkansas. I was in Arkansas over the holidays, and I tried to drink all Arkansas beers while I was there.
Core has a really nice beer.
Their ESB, they have an ESB that's fantastic.
I haven't tried the ESB. Have you tried the Toasted Coconut?
No, I have not. They're hard to find.
I thought he was going to come all over himself. He's like, you don't know that.
I try to keep reserve.
No, it's an amazing beer. It's like eating like a chocolate coconut, piece of chocolate with coconut in it. And their red beer is really good, too.
Yeah, I've had a little trouble finding their beers when I go back to Arkansas, because I think they have more of the Little Rock beers in northeast Arkansas where I go.
I get them in Oklahoma.
Okay, so I need to find somebody in Oklahoma. Because they're right there in Springdale. They're right across the border. Well,
in Norman, if you know where Norman is, it's maybe an hour and a half out of Dallas.
Yeah.
There's this liquor store. It's called Cellar Wines.
Okay.
And it's just like, I walk in like a kid in a candy store. There's so much beer.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Yeah, they've, Coors really, I know name drop here, Dave Fugeron, the owner of Southern Star. He's a big Coors fan.
Oh, nice.
Loves,
oh, really?
Yeah. We just kind of talk about it. Every time we hang out, it's like, yeah, let's talk really, say really good things about Coors.
So you were in Colorado recently too, right?
Yep.
Did you hit any breweries up there? One of my personal favorites is Odell. Yeah. I love Odell.
We were in Breckenridge, so we went Broken Compass. That was the only brewery. No, I take that back. We were in Pueblo. It was a little brew pub. I forget the name of the. It was like a Irish pub, like brew pub. Mm-hmm. Fantastic food. I think the only one in Pueblo, but. That one was really good. Their food was excellent, too.
If you go back to Breckenridge, right before you get to Breckenridge, there's a place called Idaho Springs.
Yeah.
And Tommyknocker's there.
Okay.
And Tommy, have you ever had any Tommyknocker? Their beer's really good.
We passed, South Park, I think, is one we passed.
Mm-hmm.
Heading into Breck. And, there was one by the lake right there.
Lake Brewery?
Yeah, it's on the dam. I don't know what the... Dan Lake or in. I don't know. I got to try a handful when I was up there.
I'm kind of like you, though. I adapt whatever environment I'm in. I'm in Colorado or I'm Oklahoma or whatever, I try the local stuff. There's another really good one. I think they're out of Oklahoma. I'm not sure where the brewery is. The one that makes Monkey Zombie. It's a porter. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah,
that was good. We had that on one of our Halloween shows.
I want to say it's Tallgrass, but I'm not 100% on that.
I don't know. The only thing, every time I think Oklahoma, I think prairie.
Yeah.
The
prairie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had their Bira.
Yeah.
It was like an Italian style ale.
Yeah. Not your jam?
Not so good.
Yeah. What I've tried of theirs is all, it's all, you know, a lot of those big stouts, the Bomb series or whatever.
The Bomb is great, yeah.
Those are really good. When I was in Fort Worth, my sister lives up there and got married over the holidays as well. It's been busy. There's a lot of good beers coming out of just in Fort Worth. Not even,
yeah.
You know, spend time over there. There's one just north of Fort Worth where they brew everything over an open fire.
Oh,
fire sure. Roasted beer.
It's that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
that's for the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
It trips me out when Jester King, they do a lot of stuff. I like their collaboration stuff. They did that one with I always forget the name. It's the most famous barbecue up there. But they...
Oh, Salt Lake. Yeah, they made the Figlet Franklin. Franklin. Right.
And then also the other one, too. There's another one that's... but they go there and they use their... they smoked their...
they smoked the figs on Figlet.
Right, and they also smoked the malt, I think, or maybe it was the barley over at this other barbecue joint. I can't remember the name. Something with a C. County Line? Maybe that's what it was. Something like that. Anyway, there was one. It was like something with salt because it had like a cloud on the label. I want to talk to that guy. I can never get him to talk to me on because I follow him on Instagram, the guy that does all of their artwork.
Oh, yeah.
That guy. I love his artwork. I'd love to commission something or something for us. But anyway... I like that they use local is one thing really cool, but also that they're very much ecologically minded and all that kind of shit. And,
yeah.
And it's easy to be like, you bunch of hippie motherfuckers and all that kind of shit.
Yeah,
and it seems gimmicky, but it probably takes a lot of startup capital to get that shit working and get it working right.
Yeah, when you hear like farmhouse beer, like Saisons and Beer de Garde are considered farmhouse. Mm-hmm. They're an actual farm... brewery. It's an actual, you know, farmer. They own land. Yeah. They grow crops. They have cattle and all that kind of stuff out there.
Right, right.
And, you know, they do, like, old-school lambic style or lambic-inspired cool ship beers. They just released one, or three of them is their series. And, you know, they do collaborations all the time. Some we can't even get here in Texas because of our stupid laws.
Yeah.
Distributors and things.
Is that the Open the Taps movement thing that everyone's about, or is that different?
Well, they're... It just depends on which law they're trying to change. We have a lot of dumb laws. Like, if you've ever tried to buy a beer on a Sunday before noon at a store, then you're just like, what the...
Or stop selling it at midnight or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I've never understood those laws. Like, I know they, you know, Prohibition was where they started.
Right.
And they've just stuck around for whatever. But I don't see the benefit of keeping them around.
Like, yeah.
Especially if the grocery store stays open to 1.
Sure.
You know, so... after work, sometimes I'll try to do my grocery shopping. I'll have to leave like 5 minutes early, haul ass the mile and a half up the road to get to the grocery store, go grab the beer, dive across the scanner, shoulder roll, pay, then go get the rest of my groceries.
That thing you're talking about with the, like you said, you got to go to a certain beer store that'll get it. What are they doing that allows them to get certain beers that we can't do? Is it because they're a major distributor or something? Or retailer or whatever you call it?
You were talking in Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a little bit different laws. Like, they can't
refrigerate the beer over a certain ABV.
Right. It's kind of wonky. And then you always hear, like, Oki beer, 3-2 beer or whatever was always, like, if you went to Oklahoma on a Sunday to buy beer, it was going to be Oki beer, 3-2.
Oh, weird.
Was as high as it could be. And Budweiser and Miller, whoever, they would all brew beer specifically for Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird.
They have lower ABVs in them so they can keep them cold.
Yeah, but I think they can sell them in liquor stores now if they're over 3-2, but not in grocery stores. Same thing. Right. Colorado does the same thing.
But like the whole thing about beer trading, I'm starting to get into that because for my job, we once a year we have a conference and it's in different places around the country.
Yeah.
This year's going to be San Diego, which ought to be pretty sweet. A lot of great breweries up there. But what's cool is the people that, because it's for this software we use at work, and so all these different companies, I mean people from Australia, all over the world use it. And so they all started doing this thing a few years ago, and I just found out about it, where they said, hey, we're going to bring our local beers from where we're from to trade at the place.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, that's sweet. And I had a bunch of beers I wanted to take up there, so many great local beers. And so I packed them all up nice because I thought, I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to take them in a suitcase and let them break and shit. I'm going to ship them. So I put them in a box. I took it up to FedEx. I'm like, here you go. And they go, cool. What's in here? And I said, beer? She said, we can't see that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? It's like, and I said, I meant water. That's artesian water. So can we go ahead and put the label on that? And she's like, nah, sorry, bro. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who cares? And I'm trading it with some other person. I'm not selling it to miners or anything like that.
I always say yeast sample.
Yeah,
it's just in its
stored in glass bottles.
Yeah, that's the medium it's needed to travel in.
Right.
Yeah, it's dumb because you know, like wineries can ship wine. Directly to people. So
you like you need a license or something, and I'm like, no, I don't. I just put it in the box. It was easy.
Yeah,
it's ready to go.
I think that law in particular, the no shipping a beer law, was one that when wineries started opening up in Texas, they lobbied. They lobbied to be able to ship their beer. But when they were writing the law, they just left beer. And so it was just like a technicality that never got fixed. And so now distributors don't want... They look at it as a potential loss of revenue. So they lobby to keep the law the same.
I know my doctor, of all people, he's a beer lover. He's in some sort of club where he gets certain beers sent to him per month.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the club was.
They do have things like that.
Yeah, there's...
It's almost like a wine of the month club. Yeah. He's got a beer of the month club, and you kind of say, hey, I want this, this, and this, and then if you can get it, they'll get you at least one or two of them, then you get whatever's left over.
Yeah.
And he was kind of pissed that he's like, no shit, I want this. Yeah. And not take it back. Can I get a... Oh, no worries. Can I get a brash pussy wagon?
And can I get the Saccharon cherry blossom?
I'm still sipping on my... I'm good. I talk too much, I guess. I don't drink my beer enough.
Yeah, so I had to get some pussy.
Fair enough.
It's brash.
Have you tried it before?
A little bit of a wagon. Yeah, actually, okay. I had it. We went to see King's X.
Yeah, okay.
Local rockers. Right. I don't know if you're familiar with King's X, but...
Maybe.
Saw them at the pub off 59.
Okay.
Pub at Fountains or whatever it's called.
In there.
They actually
about
have,
25, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, we saw them there, yeah.
Right, Tower Theater.
Pretty decent little beer selection on draft there. We never ate there. We just go see live bands.
Yeah, because it's probably like a Applebee's or some shit. You know, shitty food
actually,
heated up.
One of my favorite double IPAs is the Rodeo Club.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to be now.
Well, for now, it's still going to be the same. They're about to ramp up a lot of a big building project. Like, huge. Because, I mean, when you have that much capital behind you, you can do that.
Right.
So, I don't know if it'll be noticeable. It'll probably be incremental in the change. They may say, you get your hops here, but we can get them cheaper if we get them over here.
Yeah.
So, it's just a subtle little shift. It's like, well, you got your grain here, but we can get it cheaper if we source it over here. And so, things start to, they just change a little bit at a time. And then, like, if you were to keep a can and then, you know, try it, you know, a year from now, maybe.
That would be interesting to be able to have a sort of comparison of here's this beer before this company owned it.
Oh, yeah.
Here's that beer a couple of years later. Yeah.
That'd
be a really interesting beer flight to check out.
They don't make...
The Saccharon Cherry Blossom.
Okay.
Remember, Carbach had the Negra Hopadillo.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I haven't seen that in a while.
I'm not sure if they can. I know they bottled it in the Bombers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's back out, if it's going to be a staple or what.
I haven't seen it.
That was a good beer.
Like a black IPA or something?
Yeah.
Do you drink much Deep Ellum?
I get what we get here.
The Dream Crusher, if you like double IPAs, it's really good. Smooth.
I appreciate double IPAs. I don't ever, my wife loves like white wine and double IPAs. It's kind of a weird deal, but she craves, like she's like, give me a double IPA now. I'm like, oh, okay.
Try the Dream Crusher and let her try it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's smooth.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. No, for whatever reason, it's like, she doesn't like sours. She's not into malty beers, really. She's just like, I want something super hoppy.
My girlfriend's actually allergic to a lot of shit. One of them is malt. Oh, so the maltier beers she can't have. She can have like Blue Moon. She can even have Old Speckled Hen. Like certain beers, she's like, these are okay.
Yeah.
But other like, I can't have that. She'll just smell it and be like, I can't drink that. Wow. I'm like, it's just beer, man.
It's just gonna water and yeast, all right?
It ain't gonna bite.
It's like making bread.
Is it all grain, or is it like just barley, or maybe wheat, or
it's the
rye?
Stuff that's more of that, like she's allergic literally to malt.
Okay.
So like, what are those? Sorry?
Hitachino?
No, the Saccharo Cherry Blossom.
Is it on the menu?
Yeah, yeah. So, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
You probably are.
I know. I'm kind of an
idiot. He's been drinking.
Where was it? That one. Oh, it is a Hitachino. Yes, I should say. Okay. Sorry about that.
Can't take you anywhere.
It's her fault.
It is.
It's coming out of your tip.
No. Okay, I just got me some pussy.
That is a serious IPA.
He's not going to be happy until he just says it.
That's, man, 10 more times I got to say it.
How many times did I say it? Keep backing it up. You're like, enough. I get to see it in his face. He's like, I know.
You son of a bitch.
I go, this is some harsh pussy. I'm about tired of this pussy. I've never said that before.
No. Anyway, so I think that...
you want to smell my pussy?
I don't know. Would you like to taste my pussy?
Have just a taste.
I'm done. I promise.
Spit it in your mouth right there.
It's just a little sour.
You just tasted my pussy.
That's right. Pussy's a little bit sour. An interesting taste to it.
Wow, this is cool.
You might consider an organic soap. Thank you very much.
Oh, you got a thing. I got a thing after what you said.
A thing? What?
I got a thing I'm going to talk about after your thing.
Oh, then why don't you go? Because we'll edit this shit out.
Well, what do you think about beer soap?
That gimmicky stuff.
Yeah, right? I mean...
Yeah, yeah, novelty stuff.
Yeah, why not?
I bought some at Odell. It actually smells pretty good. I haven't tried it yet. There's one out there, like an oatmeal stout, uh-huh. And one's out like a grapefruit IPA.
Yeah, I got one from one of the homebrew stores, and I think it's one you can find in a lot of homebrew stores.
Sure.
Probably more of a hand soap. I used it in the shower once. I was all got kind of dried out. I have delicate skin, as you can tell. It's very supple.
He's like a flower, he is. It's just all the delicate little flower.
So. But, no, that's cool. I mean, he just got, I think, for Christmas, you got some beer chocolates?
Yeah.
Yeah?
From, like, the Pirate, Palm,
yeah.
Belgian.
Or however you say it, Pirat, whatever. You
know, Pirat, like, or, yeah, Palm.
Yeah, like the Golden Drak and all that. Yeah. It's all the same company.
I don't know if Golden Drak's in there, is it?
Although, I think it's the same company. Because the labels look the same. The logos are all right.
My wife and daughter bought it for me.
Yeah?
So, well, I said, dude, we got chocolate next time we do our show in the studio. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I've always seen it with liquor, but never beer. So I was like, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
We deserve that.
Beer, and there's also, too, I mean, I've seen recipe books, beer-related recipes, and nothing but beer recipes. And I'm like, there was one, it's like a beer-braised pork loin or some shit. Like that shit actually looks professional and shit. And I was like, I could make some of that.
Yeah, I make pancakes, chocolate pancakes with a smoked porter.
Oh, nice. How those come out?
My kids love them.
I mean, somehow it's like, doesn't that take the place of something? I mean, it's almost like flour, that shit, right? Because of all the malt and
the
whatever.
Yeast, yeah.
And the yeast, yeah. So it's got to make something. Make bread out of it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, you said your girlfriend is allergic to malt. Does she like ciders or anything like that?
I don't think so, because she's allergic to apples, for one thing. But she's allergic to a shitload of stuff.
What about honey? Is she allergic to honey?
No, she's okay with honey. Mead. So, like, mead or something? Yeah, try some mead.
Yeah. There's some good meads around here.
Then, and like I said, every now and then she gets a good, you know, a beer that she's like, this tastes fine. She's all that, like, I think a Hefeweizen she's probably fine with.
Yeah. Okay.
But, so I try to keep it to the lighter stuff. Kidding often, she'll usually just have wine. She can do the wine thing, but I'm like... Not me. You can't drink wine, you can't drink rum.
Yeah.
Those make me sick. My sister will drink rum like a fish, but whatever. She's what you call an alcohol. No, I'm joking. She'll hear this and be
she's
like,
she's an overachiever.
She also works at the company I work at. She's like, that motherfucker's going to go down when I see him.
Motherfucker. Well, what's your take on different beer glasses? Something else that we've tried in the past, or we bought these real high-dollar glasses.
Yeah, the Spiegel glass, whatever it's supposed to be, like,
and
specially
like
formulated for drinks.
The
IPA glasses that look like
a
butt plug.
Those too.
What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a gimmick? Or,
no.
We noticed the difference, actually.
The IPA glass, for sure. Most of the other glasses... Yeah, you can just use a wine glass or something. It is a better glass than, say, like the shaker pint that you're drinking out of there.
Right, because it's supposed to concentrate the bouquet and all that kind of stuff.
The shaker pints, the only reason they ever started using those is because they were cheap and stackable.
Yeah,
and they were never really meant for beer.
Yeah, especially with the nonic pint, the little bump in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it because I have a closeted beer snob in me that it wants to get out. And when I can put my pinky out and drink out of a snifter.
With the monocle in,
all right. Sometimes I do two monocles.
And I bridge them together with a little temple thing.
Yeah.
You call them glasses.
I love beer glasses. I love beer
Dude, ask him. I'm a fan of beer glasses, too.
Because he's always coming. These guys got the table in the Nightmare Studios soundstage is covered with all these fucking glasses from every brewery he's ever looked at.
Yeah.
And it's like, where do I set shit down?
We need to go for Das Boot again.
Das Boot? I've got Das Boot at home.
Yeah.
Dude, I watched Beer Fest a few weeks ago.
I used it once. The little horn has got its own special sitting thing. But it's so big, you'd have to use like two beers to fill the fucking thing.
Yeah, when we were at the Meat Fest, there was a guy there that kept blowing a horn. He thought he was a Viking. He was drinking out of a horn, and then he had this real big, like sousaphone style horn.
You've had to have seen Beer Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a million times.
Yeah.
What do you think about beer type movies? If you see beer in a related movie and there's a lot of beer, would you say, I got to go see that? Or?
Well, I'll wait till it's on Netflix or something. I'll watch it. Like, what was the one with I forget who directed it, but it was Drinking Buddies.
Drinking Buddies.
With the guy, what's the guy from Office Space?
Oh, Ron Livingston?
Yeah.
Oh, Steve Carell?
There's Ron Livingston.
Ron Livingston.
Oh, okay.
I forget who else is in it. But
I think I know the one you mean. Is Mila Kunis in it or something? Maybe. I'm thinking of another movie.
A couple of hot.
Maybe a Justin Bateman movie or something.
Yeah. My wife is like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And it was done in a brewery in Chicago. The director was, he made the whole cast like work at the brewery for like, 3 weeks and learn how to brew and all that stuff.
Damn.
Because most of it was just, they didn't really write a script. They just kind of ad-libbed the whole thing.
He just wanted to be in a brewery for long. Tell his wife, it's for work.
Yeah.
And lay off.
Yeah. And so the movie was meh, but I was like, I'd watch it again just because of all the beer or whatever. But
yeah. A little beer porn in it.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm guilty. It'll suck me in. No matter what it's about. I actually have an idea for a craft beer horror movie.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, nice.
But
we'll be in it. We come cheap. Get us a beer.
Brief synopsis. The plan is to do a trilogy, or to say I'm going to do a trilogy, and of course it'll go like eight or nine. You know, but it's like any classic.
Like
horror
a Star
movie.
Wars thing, basically.
Yeah.
I'm making the Star Wars of beer movies.
Or Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, by the time we're going to be brewing beer in space, and by the end of it. But it's going to be called The Head Brewer, and it involves somebody brewing beer with heads.
Nice.
Can I try that? Is that sour? Or
go
for
it. It's a little bit sour. But it's good.
Look at him like, it's pickle juice.
It's so sour. Do you snip your beers when you... Before you
drink
the whole
thing? I do every time. Yeah.
Oh, do you?
You got to get in there, man.
You should hang out with John.
You got to get in there.
Especially the pussy. My nose is all up in that pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were talking about beating your meat, and then you drank my pussy.
Well, you can't. Those wings were so good. You can't beat that meat.
I got a plate of bones, man. The meat's gone.
You can't beat it.
I beat it. I beat the meat off the bone. Uh-huh.
That's a good pussy.
Yeah. That's...
This is why I edit everything. I was like, that's another half hour gone. No, but seriously, I guess we could either probably wrap up.
Yeah,
going on time. But
you better wrap that shit up, B.
But as far as real quick new stuff, what do you know of any new stuff happening in the beer scene that you're excited about? Doesn't even necessarily have to be local.
Yeah, well, my emphasis is always local because it's just where I.
That's cool though.
Because there's just so much out there.
Yeah,
it's like all. With the time I've got between kids and work and everything else, it's like I only have time for local. But I know we've got a handful of breweries open up here in Houston. Greater Heights coming up.
Nice.
Let's see. Under the Radar just opened up. Of course, we were at Platypus. They've been open for a little bit. That's really good. Really cool.
I'll have to check them out because they're right up the street from where I work.
Really cool. Yeah, Sean and them, they're cool people. And they make some good beers. And they have I think they have food and everything.
Oh, nice.
So... worth the trip down there. There's a couple out in my neck of the woods up in Spring and Tomball, Bearded Fox and Fire Ant and Tomball.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
they were off 249?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Fire Ant will be right on 2920 right there in like downtown Tomball. Bearded Fox is I think near Spring Cypress.
Oh, sweet.
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
I'm not too far from that.
Yeah, that's kind of
I love there's so many breweries in this town. It's like you just spend your life drinking from all the breweries.
Right? Yeah.
What's your favorite brewery, if you could pick one? If there was one, all of them would blow up but one.
Jeez. I love them all for different reasons, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Like,
mood. For different moods, you're like, I want to do that.
St. Arnold is one I put in a special place because that was the thing that got me into craft beer.
Oh, cool.
But I've got friends at all of them, and they all make great beer. Southern Star, like that Buried Hatchet Stout.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
That's one of my Mount Rushmore beers, or Houston Mount Rushmore beers. Like, no label, they're just cool, and they have, you know, they have cool parties, and that brewery's fun to hang out and take your dog and your kids.
It's a cool hang on a Saturday. And they do that at the Buffalo, too. They try to be very dog-friendly.
Yeah, and he makes good beer, and it's all over the map.
Yeah.
Texian, they make some great sours, and just, they're having wrestling out at the brewery.
Oh, no shit. Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
This isn't really Houston, but out in Belleville, Huff Brewing.
Yeah.
It's like literally on a farm out in Belleville, and they have just these awesome lagers, crisp, delicious lagers.
Oh, sweet.
If I had to pick one, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that I could do it. I guess I'll say St. Arnold just because they're the, you know, maybe they've been around too long. Maybe they need to blow up. Maybe
St. Arnold, I'm going to blow up.
Maybe St. Arnold needs to die. I don't know.
I don't want to sound radical here, but
it would be sad. Yeah, it would be sad. But, you know, I'd be at that last one drinking whatever they had. So.
Sure. Waiting for it to blow up. Like, fuck it, let's do this.
Yeah.
How about you, Genghis? I think probably my favorite, and I love, like he said, I love them all. They all have great beers, at least one great beer in every brewery in town. But probably Buffalo Bio, just for the sheer adventurousness.
Yes.
and the fact that for a beer that for a company that says we're going to try this thing, then we're going to try this thing and then this thing, and yet they're all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could see them saying we're really good at making stouts or something, and every other experiment sucks. But no, it's like they'll try all these different styles, and they're amazing. Let's put figs in this fucker, and then let's put fucking coffee and honey, and then let's put, you know, key lime over here. Now let's leave that one
sure.
out. But you know what I mean? It's like everything they try, I mean, most of them are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, just their wits alone. They had like 7 or 8 wits in 1 year.
Yeah.
Blueberry wit was blueberry buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo.
And they did a lot with the Reapas, you know? They got the blood orange.
I had the blood orange a few days
that
ago.
That one's good.
And then I love how they took the Sam's Daily. They took like a regular sort of a cream ale or kind of a regular ale. And like the Wake and Bake, they make all these variations on a sort of a core beer.
Yep.
And they're all great. They just get an idea and they go, fuck it, let's try this. And it comes out amazing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd probably be trying for fucking decades. I'm like, I'm still trying to make a fucking lager.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's probably my favorite. What about you?
I got to go Buffalo, too.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Arnold, the Pumpkinator, I look forward to it every year. I seek it out all over Houston. I buy 6 to 10 bottles every year. But Buffalo, like Genghis said, there's so much variety. You never know what they're going to come up with. I just had the Feliz Navidad, the Pumpkin Latte Stout, the Red Velvet Stout.
Yeah.
I mean,
they make great
good,
shit.
Innovative, just outside-the-box type of beer making.
Yeah.
And I think out of all the breweries we talked about, to me at least, I think Buffalo Bayou is the most outside-the-box.
They had a huge spectrum that they pull that shit out of.
And we went to Friendsgiving for like 40, 50 beers.
Yeah, it's crazy. All these different variations.
It's insane. But St. Arnold would be a close second just for the Pumpkinator.
Yeah.
I do like No Label. I like the Black Widow real well.
Yeah.
The Hatch beer's good. The Nightmare on First Street.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Have you tried Perpetual Peace?
No.
Oh, it's coming out soon.
Okay.
Oh, that's barrel-aged, wee heavy, like super malty.
Oh, nice. I like maltier beers myself.
It just kind of strokes your face. Like,
nice.
Puts you in a safe spot. Just, I love you is what it says.
Just keep me in a hug.
Okay.
Let's cut.
I love you, too.
Well, Josh, before we let you go today, we just want to thank you for spending so much time with Genghis Ragman.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Here right before the first of the year.
Can I ask y'all, could we all come do an episode of Interbrews with me?
Hell yeah.
Come on Liquid Lunch at some point?
Anytime. I'd love to. That'd be great.
Yeah. Anytime, man. We're there.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much. This has been a blast.
Sweet. We've had a great time. Thank you for joining us. And plug your site again, man.
Check out Interbrews, InterBrews.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere finer podcasts are downloaded. We're there. And then Liquid Lunch every Thursday at noon with Catherine Contreras from She's Crafty Podcast, liquidlunchshow.com. We stream live on our Facebook page, on YouTube. We also have an audio-only live feed on our website if you're driving around or whatever. So anyway, you can listen to it, you know, put your earballs on it.
One last question before we let you go. Yeah. What's your beer, your go-to beer, New Year's Eve before midnight?
Before midnight. Well, okay. It's not going to be cold, so I'm going to put stouts and anything big and malty to the side.
It may be cold. It's going to 50s.
not really cold.
Okay. Okay.
Better than this.
Right, right.
Not summertime.
2016 has been a shit year, right? For the most part, for a lot of
especially
people.
Especially near the end, yeah.
Yeah,
tell me about
a lot of people falling off, right? Oh, yeah. Sorry for all you Star Wars fans. Or musician, music fans. Oh, my God. It's been, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. You want something kind of, yeah, oh, carry for it, man. Single tier.
Yeah, John's got his Princess label, Leia buns.
And he's got that black black little label on his jock.
Yeah.
So you know he's in mourning.
Yeah.
He is.
Man, what do you call that? The metal bikini from the... That's like the best thing ever.
I'm sorry you had to meet John today.
Yeah,
by the way. Sorry about that.
That's cool.
Yeah, but you mean the other metal bikini that Carrie Fisher wore. Yes, yeah. That one was pretty hot.
Yeah, that's...
John's version, not so hot.
Not so hot, no.
I may go Saison DuPont.
Wow.
It's a very celebratory,
classic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very pop open at midnight type of beer, champagne type of, you know, feel to it.
I like you kind of have to have a beer with a cork on New Year's Eve, right?
Maybe, or just shake it up a bit. And then throw a cork. Yeah. So.
My two go-to Christmas beers were St. Bernardus Christmas Ale.
Yeah,
yeah, he loves it.
And then the Castile Donker.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was real good.
Really nice.
Coffee-ish sort of note to it.
Very nice.
Good stuff.
I'm still working on that a little bit. But, Josh, again, thank you for coming on, dude. What's your go-to beer?
My go-to beer?
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve.
Don't puss out on it. Be a man.
Coors Light. No. Wow. Seriously, it's rolling wrong.
Little Revenant.
No, I guess I'd probably go, there's this one beer, I don't have a go-to, but I've seen this one for like a year. It's $37 at HEB. It's a Brut. And so it looks like it's a champagne bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting to try that one. I think it's made in like champagne barrels or something in Asia. I don't remember who makes it.
It's probably a little sour, too.
If I find it, I'll get that son of a bitch and bring it in, and I'll let you sniff the cork.
That's
awesome. I'll let you sniff my pussy, I'll sniff your cork.
That's true friendship. That's a beautiful
one last time.
Well, thank you. Am I supposed to say get your horns up? Is that
horns up?
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
No matter.
Appreciate it, Josh.
All right.
Son of a bitch cleaned us out.
No, he
had some pussy, brash pussy.
Son of a bitch. Look, from now on,
it's a wagon. I'll
pay you not to mention.
Do you want me to say the wagon?
The wagon's good. I'm off the wagon.
The pussy wagon homes.
That's all I can say.
So, anyway, no, Josh was cool. Knows his beer. Say that.
He does know beer, and I like that. I can't wait to talk to that dude again. Maybe be on a show.
Oh yeah, he invited us. We did.
Son of a bitch invited us.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. He's like, I saw he had your number in his phone, and he hit delete, and he's like.
And for the picture, he had that emoticon that's a little turd.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about.
Weird.
That was kind of insulting.
Maybe it's a compliment. I don't know.
Just a picture of a pig's ass.
So let's get back to our conversation before we wrap up. It's been a long show. We're tired. We've had some grub.
Precocious.
Had some beer.
Combustible.
Is there anything else you're looking for? I've heard a rumor about something. I don't know if it's bullshit or false or whatever, but it's probably not going to be this year, but possibly next year.
Oh, what is this?
Kiss reuniting with the original group.
Again, now,
2018.
Let me ask you this.
Probably one or two shows.
But is this Peter can't do it anymore. Going to do every few years, just forever? Because how many times have they done this?
Paul can't sing anymore.
Really?
Yeah. He's got problems.
He's got like a little Walkman tape to his belly. Click, play.
He's going auto tune. No, I'm kidding. No, I heard some. I heard a little bit of a live show, and man, it was rough. A little bit. But I don't know if it's before he had the surgery on his throat or after.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when the recording was, but yeah, he didn't sound as good as he used to.
Did he have, were any of the nurses, those chicks that were in the bed with him in the metal years?
Yeah, I think so.
All of them. Some of my nurses, they couldn't help.
But now they're all 60. This doesn't work as well as it did back in the 80s.
I need new girls. Switch them out.
Oh, shit.
Well, sweet. Well, anything else that we've got to mention related to 2017 at all? So that we can kick 2016 in the ass and get out of here?
I'd love to see Maiden in Texas.
Definitely.
That'd be huge.
I'm hoping. We don't know that it's coming, but we're looking forward to it in the sense that I wanted that.
Priest,
same
too.
With Dream Theater. Yeah.
And Priest.
And Priest.
Priest fucked us last year, too.
And they probably won't go much longer, right?
You wouldn't think so.
I mean, I know Rob's back, but...
Something I got over the Christmas break. I got a new CD from Rick Emmett.
Nice.
He's got a band. It's Rick Emmett and Res 9, or Resolution 9.
Rich
pretty good little CD. LaBrie's on two tracks,
that's
guest
it.
Singing. Alex Lifeson's on guitar on one track. And then he has the reuniting of Triumph for the last track on the CD.
I thought you were going to tell me something from Harum Scarum was on that.
Oh, no.
That would have been awesome. But, I mean, it sounds like a Canadian.
Oh, yeah,
LaBrie is Canadian. Right?
Sure. I tell you what, let's play I Sing off that record. It's really good. Killer track. I get the goosebumps when I hear that.
Yeah, you remember the old days, man.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Oh, dude, LaBrie singing like that? Forget about it.
Yeah, and back in the day, Triumph was shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You wonder what happened to some of those bands. They were like, they were fine. What happened?
I wonder if they'll do some sort of tour with this kind of... I mean, they kind of rekindled things a few years back, then they went dormant. I wonder if this spurs...
Do like a small tour, like Warehouse Live or something?
I don't think they'd do that. I think they'd do select dates where they're really popular in the States.
Okay.
I would go to San Antonio and see them.
Okay. I might go with you.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it comes together like it does.
ARW is supposed to put out new music this coming year.
I thought
too.
I read something about that, so maybe that will happen. So that would be sweet.
That would be a big one for
me.
They
sounded amazing. If they do even just two new songs and just a bunch of old shit, I'd still be happy.
We hadn't talked about that, have we?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the review should be up by now.
Oh, you know what? I think we did talk a little bit about it because we talked about Wakeman's cape. I'm the captain, right?
That motherfucker.
I'm going to fly.
I know. I've got my sweatpants and my cape. The perfect combination.
I've got a few pounds on me. It may be hard to fly right now, but I'll do it.
The best is when you see, like, the little rope string just kind of dangling at the T-shirt. You're like,
There's no, it's like the dude trying to get him on the string. He's, like, just straining.
Like a corset.
Yeah.
Stay still, Richard. Fuck off. I'm fucking waiting.
Now, anyway, that was a killer fucking show.
Oh, yeah, it was
great. I can't
great.
Get enough of that show. In my mind, I keep replaying it. And all the music sounded fantastic.
How about some ZZ Top?
For real, dude.
They're due.
No, I would love to hear them. Anything from them. Although,
so we're talking about old school bands. Is there any new school bands you want? You're dying for a new product.
I'm trying to think. Out of the stuff I heard, I mean, Dynasty was one of my favorite albums from last year, and I'd love to see them.
They're about every other year when they put something out.
Yeah,
though, right?
I'd love to see them tour. I've never seen them tour before. I would love to see that. I don't guess DGM. who's really an Italian band.
I heard them yesterday. I listened to them yesterday.
Yeah, if they would come to something like America, even just do one quick tour.
Sure.
Small dates, small venues, whatever, I'd go.
That'd be nice.
I'd even probably go to San Antonio maybe.
Not great, but nice.
But anyway, that's all I know, dude.
That's it.
We gotta wrap this up. John's giving us, he's giving it a high sign. Like, wrap it up. Yeah. But for all I know, he's saying, I fucked up the toilet. It's not flushing. Can
probably
you guys
both.
Get it fixed. Yeah.
No, he's got two things going. It's like, wrap it up, and I fucked up the toilet.
His
yeah.
Stomach, and he's fucking rubbing his
head. Exactly.
Yeah, plus we gotta figure out how to, I mean, we'll have to wash dishes, I guess, to pay for all this food.
I don't have any money.
Yeah, I don't either. So, it's off to one at a time. We go
maybe John can go blow the shelf.
Or John does the bag of dog shit, lights it on fire.
Oh, yeah.
While he's standing in front of people like, oh, look. And then everybody runs.
Yeah, exactly. He's got that little jar of roaches, too.
That little plastic roaches.
Yeah.
He's got the one novelty plastic roach that's like 2 feet long. Yeah. And he likes to bring that out at dinner and go, I'm sorry, I can't pay for this. I'm like, that's clearly a fake roach, sir. They don't get that.
It wasn't there here.
And he's like, tell it to this guy. He's eating all my food. I'm like, John, you got to go small, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I suppose we should probably get out of here before we get any worse.
Well, that's it. There it is. Well, thank you for another year of listening pleasures for you. Not us, no, but you.
No, we don't enjoy it.
We hate it.
It's really more of a community service thing.
Right.
We're paying off a legal debt.
Exactly. Well, we're going to give you another full year of this shit.
We're going to keep shoving it up.
Shoving it up your ass.
Up to the shoulder.
Exactly. But before we close off here.
You guys something to pay?
Can we get a check?
Check all together separately.
Or do I need to get it?
No, it doesn't matter.
Favorite song of the year? Yeah, I think we did that Kiss and Kisses.
Yeah, I think we took care of that.
What about Winger?
What about Winger?
They should have a new product.
That would be awesome.
If they don't, I'll kill somebody.
I'm going to fucking... Where do you live, Colorado?
Yeah.
I'm going to find that motherfucker.
Chip.
Knock on his door.
Chippy.
Kip.
Chip. What's his name?
It's all safety.
The interview the whole time, just calling Chip. He's like, no, my name's Kip. It's like, okay, Chip.
Mr. Richardson, we appreciate you talking to us. It's, like, it's Winger. Thanks, appreciate it.
So, that said, there it is. A song to finish with. About some Winger, classic Winger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about Battle Stations?
I love it. I thought you'd never ask.
Let's do it. Well, guys, we want to thank you again.
Yeah.
Here before we leave you, we're going to give you one more. No, I'm kidding.
But at the live show here at the Haymarket, give a quick plug for a great place in town to get beer if you're ever in Houston.
Excellent, yes.
Drop by the Haymarket at the corner of West.
The food's gotten better, too.
Oh, the food's pretty good. You had the wings, you had the chicken fingers or whatever those were. They may have been the whole hand. I mean, they were really big chicken fingers.
They were. I'm full.
Chicken hands. They are.
Chicken hands. Oh, well, if Turtle Head would have been here, there would have been chicken asses on the man.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But until then.
We want to give you two big holds up.
Thanks for listening to the Geese and Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchants. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.